of all the resources, human and material, in this Commonwealth for the defense of this Commonwealth.
And I said, look at the Monunda over there, all lit up like a showboat. And the next minute a searchlight came on the Monunda and it just went up and down, and then it switched off, and then we would just continue talking. And the next thing, the searchlight came on us, and we looked at it. I said, look, what? And next minute the shield starts screaming and the old ship started to shatter. So we all jumped over the side.
You were being bombed?
Yeah, we were sunk by a shield, yeah. We were shelled by a cruiser, Japanese cruiser, and we all jumped over the side, and we got crawled up on the beach, and the ship had gone, it laid over on the side, and the searchlight was shining up the road. That was my first ignition to a war.
And how old were you at the time?
I was 19. Anyway, we get up to the corporate factory, and we were exhausted. We're laying there, and the searchlight came on again, and they start to shell us again. You could hear them screaming over. None of them had my name on it, luckily. We didn't have any roads. We didn't have Jeeps. We didn't have any four-wheel drives. Only the Americans, engineers, they're the only ones that had trucks, and we had no hospital. So, I mean, it was a real ragtime show, and it was, you don't think about it until now. You get a bit ancient, and you realise just how lucky we were, because Kokoda hadn't started. That was after Milne Bay, and that helped them and the rest of the Australians. When we defeat the Japanese, it showed that they could be defeated.
Save a little sugar, save a little.
When I joined up, as I said, my father wouldn't sign the papers. And after my family had passed away and I got all my family papers, I found out my father was in the army when he was 15 in the First World War. And he knew what he was talking about when he wouldn't sign me papers. We joined up because everybody, that seemed to think to do, and I'm glad we did at that time, because at Milne Bay, they were only 800 miles away from Townsville. A lot of people don't realise that. And then we went round to Moresby, and I'd always tell the children about, at schools that I go to in the colleges, that one of the mateship is the most wonderful thing of the lot. Now, I used to go into me tent, and me mate, Ronnie, always put things away. And when I turned 21, he gave me a ring, and he had a 2-shilling piece in Australian, it's all silver. And it must have taken him a long while, because he filed a hole and made me a ring. And I said, he gave me a ring for me 21st birthday. Now, that's what I call mateship. I wore it all for years, but with silver it wore away and I eventually lost it. We used to all help one another if we scrounged. We never stole anything. We call it scrounging. We'd get on the back of a Yankee truck and get a case of Spam. You know what Spam is? You buy it today. And we were having bully beef and ham and vegetables, we used to call it. We share it amongst everybody, and when a bullock, a Zubu we call them, got blown up with the Jap bomb when we had a bombing raid, we cut steaks off it and cooked it and we shared it, but it was just like eating a piece of leather, but still we ate it.
Laura Prout, you're involved with the Australia Remembers project. How is this project working to preserve these memories?
Working at an RSL, we get to hear these sort of stories, even just short bits in passing, and they're just so... such wonderful stories to preserve. So the project is basically documenting the history of our veterans through film, through written word, and through images. And we're putting them onto our australiaremembers.com.au site. So we've got a variety of different ways people can view these stories. And it's little things. So I know on our days of remembrance, it's after the official service, everyone gets a chance to relax and talk with friends, and we hear these quirky stories or little things, even details you'd never think to pick up on. And I know myself, even though I work at an RSL, when we've been starting these interviews, hearing these stories, it's always awe-inspiring. So I think that's one of the main crux of doing this. It's to let other people see more, not just, as you say, on April 25th.
The enemy presses from without. I have said that our forces are at their battle station. They are not alone.
April 25, Anzac Day. In the year 2013, what does it mean to you?
Well, I'm 91. I'll be 91 in August, and I've lost all my mates. I'm the last one in my unit, and I'll just enjoy myself and think of my mates. You think about them, and think of all the good times you used to have and things we used to get up to, you know. That's about all. At my age, there's not much more left for me. I've done everything and been there and done that. I just say to myself, Froggy and Dasher, his name was Cedric, we called him Dasher, and there was Billy the Kid, the cook, and Froggy, which his name was Ronnie DePaul, and that was my mate. And well, they're all gone, but they died early, unfortunately, for some reason or other, you know. And yeah, I think of them, and as I said, when you got time, which I have a lot now, I can think of all them things and think of the air raids. And when we were in Moresby in 1943, you weren't allowed to have a slit trench because the mosquitoes, malaria, and we were near a creek and we had a coconut logs across the top of it, and I dug a hole through the bank, and we had a Japanese 100-plane raid, and I went to get in there and all my mates were in there, so I had to stand up under the coconut logs we had across where we used to have a shower. And now, after the war, and I see in France and Germany, mainly Germany, 1,000 planes. Just 100 was enough. I thought there's nowhere to go with 100. There's definitely nowhere to go with 1,000 planes. So, I mean, that just gives you an idea of what war's all about, and you think of all these things.
AIM, will you?